weren't too good, were they? I'm just kidding with you, obviously. Praise the Lord. Turn to the book of Matthew. Who said Christians can't have any fun, by the way, right? I had one of our precious children. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he knows who he is. His mother knows who he is. His daddy now knows who he is. He came to me Wednesday night. Yes. And they are here. I was doing a double check. They are here. He came to me and said, his mother came to me and said, he wants to ask you a question. I said, yes. He said, I'm just wondering, something like this. He said, I'm just wondering if this year in Cadets for Christ, if maybe you could write a book on the book of Ecclesiastes, he said. Now, that's not right, especially when the mother gives the impression that it's something serious. And then she brought me and sent her husband and brought me some green beans this week. Yes, that sounds like conviction to me right there. I'm obviously just playing with you. Amen. Good. The book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. By the way, if you'd like to see a preacher mess up, just come every Sunday around this place, you know what I mean? Matthew, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Boy, we've started the book of Matthew on Wednesday night. We begin our reading, verse number 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That is the title of my message. This is part 2 tonight, so just in case you're taking notes, maybe you weren't here Wednesday night, I'm preaching on that phrase, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham, verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. We begin again in part number 2 on the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. We share this second part of this message. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, I pray, to be faithful to you and your word. We love you this night. We thank you for giving us another day to serve you. Help us to understand from here to the very back of the balcony. Help us all to understand that this could be the very last service that we ever attend before we see you face to face. Help us to be ready and prepared for that. Speak through me tonight. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I gave you some introductory thoughts to the book of Matthew on Wednesday night, so just in case you missed those introductory thoughts, go back and get that message on Wednesday night. Now, before I get to the second point of the outline, I want to bring out again, I've already brought this out on Wednesday night, but I want to bring it out again because it's just introducing the major key center thought of the book. There's an interesting and impacting truth found in the New Testament with its opening phrase. It's interesting how it opens up with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, if we went back, and we already did this on Wednesday night, I'm just tapping this on the head and going on. If we went back to Genesis chapter 5, verse number 1, we see that basically the Old Testament starts with this phrase. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And we understand that because Adam sinned, everybody who has entered into his book, that is you, because you were born of a human father, a human mother. You were incorporated, just like me, into the book of the generations of Adam. And we understand that according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We see that a person enters the book of the generation of Adam by physical birth, and it ends in death. Yet when you get to the New Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, you see the end product of the book of the generations of Adam. It is death. Death, wickedness, ungodliness, all the way through the Old Testament. But then you get to the New Testament, and it just so happens that the very first opening phrase of the New Testament, he says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. He's saying there's another book that's coming on the scene right here, and it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And just like the book of the generation of Adam is entered by physical birth, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ is entered by the spiritual birth, and it does not end in death, it ends in everlasting life. Now we're looking at this book of the generation of Jesus Christ. In this opening message in verses 1 to 17 of Matthew chapter 1. The first thing we noticed about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, and I preached on it Wednesday night, so let me just mention it and go on. Number one, that book settles his identity. We see this in verse number 1 where it calls him the son of David, which identifies him as the coming Messiah. He is the king who will inherit David's throne, and it also calls him the son of Abraham, which puts him in the right nation. You want to hear that message? Go back and get it. Number 2, the second thing we notice about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, it not only settles his identity, but number 2, it shows his grace. It shows his grace. As we consider this genealogy, I'm talking about in the legal side of Christ, there is one word that comes to mind, and I've got it in all capital letters. It is the word grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And a closer look at this list of names that is included in the genealogy of Christ on his legal side, I'm telling you, when you look at it, this word of God's amazing grace comes shining through. Now, I want to give you 4 thoughts under this. These are not really points under it, but just the number 1, 2, 3, and 4. First of all, we see one woman mentioned right here. I'm talking about that I'm going to draw attention to. Verse number 16, her name is Mary. Mary was an ordinary, unknown young woman. She was a sinner just like everybody else, and yet God allowed her to give birth to his precious son. I'm telling you, number 2, there were 2 men mentioned in verse number 1. It was the men's names David and Abraham. And if you remember that David is remembered as a man after God's own heart, but he was also guilty of a horrific sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and then conspired to cover his sin with the treacherous murder of her husband. Then you have Abraham, that though he was the father of all who believe, you'll see instances in the Old Testament that he was also a liar, folks. And I'm telling you something, even though this woman was ordinary and she was a sinner, yet God's amazing grace included her. Even though David committed adultery and became a murderer, God still included him. And even though Abraham was a liar, God still included him. Then we see the 3 eras of time in verse number 17. From Abraham to David, it was that of the patriarchs and of Moses, Joshua, and the judges. It included wandering and enslavement and deliverance and covenant making and law giving and conquest and victory. The second period of time from David under the carrying away into Babylon, it represents the monarchy. Most led Israel away from God and into trouble. That was a period of almost uninterrupted decline, degeneracy, apostasy, and tragedy. It was a time of defeat, conquest, exile, and the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. The third era of time is from the carrying away in Babylon unto Christ. It was that of captivity, exile, frustration, and of marking time. It was a period of obscurity, and it's been known as Israel's Dark Ages. And yet God included it right here. Then you have 4 Gentile women mentioned. One of them is Tamar in verse 3. 2 of them is Rahab and Ruth in verse number 5, and the 4th one is Bathsheba in verse number 6. Tamar was the Canaanite daughter-in-law of Judah, who resorted to deception, prostitution, and incest. She disguised herself as a prostitute and tricked Judah into having sexual relations with her, and from that illicit union were born 2 sons. You go to Rahab. She was a heathen prostitute, but God allowed her to give birth to Boaz, which was David's great-grandfather. You go to Ruth. By the way, that's where we're going in the Old Testament. We go to Ruth, who was a Moabite. I'm talking about a nation born out of incest between a drunken Lot and his daughter in a mountain cave. She had no right to marry an Israelite, but through Boaz, she was brought into the royal messianic line. Bathsheba went in unto David. Even though she was married to Uriah, she entered the messianic line through adultery with David. Now get this, the son of their sinful union died. But then God allowed her to give birth to Solomon, a continuer of the messianic line. You know, in all 4 of these women, you have 4 Gentile women. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me, please. They are being included which shows us that the middle wall of partition has been broken in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14. He is the Savior of the Jew and He is the Savior of the Gentile. And I'm telling you tonight that one thing we see about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ is as we look closer at all the names that's mentioned. I just gave you Mary and the two men and the three eras and the four women. But if you look, I'm talking about look closer at all the names that are involved in this genealogy. It shows you kings listed, paupers listed, saints listed, the vilest sinners listed, harlots and adulteresses listed. In all of this, we see more than just a list of names. It's a wonderful and glorious testimony to God's amazing grace. He truly is the friend of sinners who came to call sinners to repentance. In Matthew 9:13, He's the Savior of all mankind. I'm telling you today that what the book of the generation of Jesus Christ shows us, it shows us that our God is a God of amazing eternal grace. Christ did not inherit their sinful nature, but He is identifying with these sinful men and these sinful women, and then was led to an old rugged cross where He died for their sin and He died for yours. I'm telling you tonight that number one, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, hey, it settles His identity. He is who He says He is. He is God. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of Abraham. But then it shows His amazing grace in who is included in His genealogy. And I'm telling you tonight, aren't you glad for the amazing grace of God? He has amazing, wonderful grace. If He did not, He'd never include you and He'd never include me. But there's a third thing about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Number one, it settles His identity. Number two, it shows His grace. But number three, it stresses His virgin birth. Now I'm going to show you this because there are some powerful teachings about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Look closely right here, eyeball to eyeball, please. If you deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you are lost. It is a fundamental of our faith, which means, simply what that means is that it is an essential to our faith. You show me anybody, I don't care how educated they are or how, excuse me, uneducated they are. Some of them are teaching in Bible colleges. Some of them are teaching on public campuses around America, and they will mock the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin Mary, then He inherited Adam's sin nature. He has no book of His own. He just entered the book of the generation of Adam at that time, and that makes Him a sinner. If He inherited Adam's sin nature, if He was born of a human father, He is a sinner, just like you and just like me. But I'm glad I have no problem in my heart and in my mind understanding and believing that Mary knew no man. She was conceived, that in her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you that because He was virgin born, He could die for us. Because He was virgin born, He does have the right to sit on David's throne. Because He was virgin born, He is God. And He took our place on Calvary. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ stresses His virgin birth. By the way, that's doctrinal preaching. Don't be scared with the word doctrine. Every time a preacher gets up, he's giving you doctrine. You know what doctrine means? What the Bible teaches. That's all it is. Just teaching what the Bible says. And this virgin birth stressing it, this is so powerful. I'm telling you, let's just let the Word of God speak. I can't improve on the Word of God. You can't either. So let's just open it up and let it speak for itself. Let's look at verse number 11 first. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now get this, folks, get it right here. Get ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm starting with verse number 11. It's interesting here that this man by the name of Jeconias is mentioned in the lineage. Now get this, just in case you miss Wednesday night, let me emphasize this again. If you'll notice in verse number 16, this is the legal line going down to Joseph. Everybody with me there? This is not the line of Mary, this is the line of Joseph, which shows him as his legal father, okay?
Now, that being the case, in this particular lineage, this particular genealogy, this man's name is mentioned, Jechonias. Now you say, what are you about to bring out? Well, don't turn to it. But in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 30, listen to this. He is speaking of this man, Jechonias. He's also known as Coniah in the Word of God. Now, here's what Jeremiah 22, 30 teaches. Listen to it closely. Thus saith the Lord, write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. Let me read it again. Maybe you missed it. Speaking of this man, Jechonias, also known as Coniah, Jeremiah 22, 30. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Now let me emphasize, according to the Word of God, the curse of God was upon the seed of Jechoniah, and none of his seed would ever sit on the throne of David. Are you with me so far? Now stay with me here. However, Joseph is part of his seed. Now what does that mean? Here's what it means. Joseph could not be the father of Jesus, because if he was, Jechoniah's seed shall never sit upon the throne of David. You know what he's teaching us here? Joseph is not his daddy. He's born of the Virgin Mary. He's not of the seed of Jechoniah. I'm telling you, what a powerful thought comes out right there. Secondly, look at verse number 16. Notice the language. As a matter of fact, let's just back up a little bit. Look at verse number 13. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim. And am I pronouncing them right? I don't know. You don't know either. Probably. Maybe you do. You can help me afterwards. But just go on like I do know it and go on, right? Eliakim begat Azor. Verse 14, Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Acham, and Acham begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matan, and Matan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph. Do you see a system here? Such and such begat, such and such begat, such and such begat, such and such begat. But notice the change of language in verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, which is called Christ. Why doesn't it say Jacob begat Jesus? I mean, it's been begat all the way through until you get to verse 16, and then miraculously, it doesn't say Joseph begat Jesus. It says Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Christ, Jesus, who is called Christ. What is he teaching us here? He's teaching us here that he had no human father, folks. He's teaching us here that the book of the generation of Jesus Christ is stressing an eternal fact. And that eternal fact is Joseph was not his daddy. He was born of the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm telling you, just like I've said before, let remind us all here the importance of the virgin birth. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ did not inherit Adam's sin nature. He inherited his father's sinless nature. Because of this, he was truly God's only begotten son who lived a sinless, perfect life and could therefore go to the cross to die in our place. The Bible teaches us, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's not a young woman. It's a virgin. And I'm going to tell you something. A virgin conceives. That's the only reason that they can call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given. Do you get that? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's showing, oh, he was born of his mother, but he was given by God Almighty. And I'm telling you something. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This world is searching for peace. I've got bad news for the world. There'll be no peace until King Jesus rules and reigns. But when he rules and reigns, oh, what sweet peace that's going to be. I'm telling you, aren't you looking forward to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why is he that? Because he was born of the Virgin Mary. That's why. He had no human father. He had no beginning, has no ending. Micah 5:2 says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." That means he had no beginning, folks. He didn't begin in the womb. He's the creator of the universe. And I'm telling you that God the Son chose the avenue of the virgin birth. So he's not interrupted. He's not sinful. He's not affected with it. He was tempted in his flesh, but he never gave in to it. He was perfect. He was sinless. And because of his virgin birth, the virgin birth of Christ, because of that, we're going to say more about that probably in the next sermon, because it goes into his birth. But the important, don't ever let anybody de-emphasize the virgin birth. You cannot de-emphasize the virgin birth. If you de-emphasize it, you de-emphasize Christianity. And let me say this, God forbid it. But if there's any of our precious young people who end up going to a Bible college or end up going to a secular university, and somebody gets up and they start belittling the virgin birth and saying, "That's impossible, impossible, impossible," can I encourage you to do something? Get out and get somewhere that's going to teach you the Word of God. Because that stuff will pollute your mind. It'll take you down. Let me just say this right here too. I get in trouble when I get away from my notes, but I'm away from my notes here. So I'm giving you fair warning. I might need to apologize here in just a minute. But if there's any parents here who are more interested in your child's education than their spirituality, you're missing the boat. Somebody says, "Wait a minute. Hey, I want them to go to that secular university because they need to have a career. They need to be set up for life. They need to..." Listen, show that to me in the Word of God and I'll eat it. I'll eat the Bible. If you can show that thinking to me, I'll eat it. Now, if God leads you there, go ahead. But you better pray hard about it. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are people who are enemies of this book, and they hate this book, and they will belittle this book, and they will laugh at the virgin birth. We don't laugh at it. We rejoice in it, because the virgin birth means we have a Savior. He died for us. He took our sin upon himself on Calvary. Why? Because he was virgin born. He's the virgin born Son of God. And the book of the generation of Jesus Christ stresses that to us. It shows us his grace. It settles his identity. It stresses his virgin birth. And I'm telling you, we have a Savior tonight. Aren't you glad we've got a Savior? I mean, if you're saved tonight, the only reason you could be is because he was virgin born and he did not inherit the sin nature. Don't ever belittle the virgin birth. Amen or not out there, folks. We're a fundamental, independent Baptist church. You know what it means to be fundamental? It means we believe, we teach, we accept all of the fundamental doctrines of God's Word. And one of those fundamental doctrines is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Anybody ever comes to me and says, "You believe he's really born of a virgin?" I'm not going to have to pray about my answer. I'm not even going to have to search for it. I'm going to say, I not only believe it, I know it's true. How do you know it? Because he lives in my heart and he's changed me from the inside out. And I'm telling you, the only reason, hey, you have a saved loved one over on the other side? I know I bring some of this stuff up just every now and then as the Lord prompts. You got a saved loved one over on the other side? Oh, I've got some saved loved ones over there. You may tell you why they're waiting on us? Because he was virgin born. It's not the only thing, you understand. But it all works together. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was God's only begotten Son. He was the sinless sacrifice for our sin. And he could take our place because he had no human father. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. He'll overshadow you. And when he's born, we'll say, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's the virgin birth. And the book of the generation of Jesus Christ stresses the virgin birth, shows his amazing grace, settles his identity. And I know that this is more of a teaching sermon, more of a doctrinal message, and it's kind of hard to apply it, but I'm going to do my best to do it. So we understand there's a new book that's been written. You get to the Old Testament, it's the book of the generations of Adam. You get to the New Testament, it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you in his book? If you are, what are you doing to get others in it? And are you thanking God for how he got you in it? When's the last time you got on your knees? I'm convicted right here. When's the last time you got on your knees and said, Jesus, thank you for being born of the Virgin Mary. Thank you that you came and took my place. By the way, you say that not only with your lips, but you also say it with your life. And may the Lord help us every day of our life, every step we take, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you that you were born of the Virgin Mary. Thank you that you were sinless. Thank you that you didn't have to, but you chose to die. And he told those who were getting ready to crucify him and those who wanted him dead, he said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, but I willingly lay it down of myself. And he said, I will willingly take it back up again. And he'll never die again. And because he lives, we shall live also. And that's made possible through the virgin birth of the Son of God. Do you get it? Do you understand how we're starting this book? You need to get it settled in your mind before we start plowing through the book of Matthew that Jesus really is God. He really is the Son of David. He really is the Son of Abraham. He really does want to include you and include everybody else. And he really was born of the Virgin, which makes him sinless. And he took our place. What a way to start this book. Wouldn't you agree? And may the Lord help us as we plow through it. May he plow through us and show us what he wants us to see. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for these opening messages here in the book of Matthew. Took us two parts to get through it, but Lord, there are powerful thoughts that come shining through. Doctrinal teaching. We thank you for the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Thank you that it settles your identity, that you are God. Thank you that it shows your grace, that you include sinners. That's why you came. Thank you that it stresses your virgin birth. And because you were born of the virgin, you are the sinless sacrifice. Help us to give you our lives. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. There may be somebody that came to this church service tonight, but you have never come to Christ. Jesus really was born of the Virgin Mary. He really was God's Son. He still is. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. But maybe you've never come to Him and asked Him to forgive your sin. Maybe you've never asked Him to save your soul. If you haven't, in just a moment when we extend an invitation, why don't you come and let us take a Bible, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we'll share with you how you can know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Last week, after our teenage presentation of the mission trip, there was a teenage girl who came, and my wife had the privilege of leading her to Christ after church last week. Maybe you're here this week and God's speaking to you. Or maybe you're sitting there tonight and you say, Jody, I'm saved. I'm in His book, His generation. I'm in His line now. He's written me in His book. But you say, Jody, I need to do a better job of showing gratitude. Remember the story of the 10 lepers when He cleansed all 10 of them, but only one came back to thank Him. And He said, were there not 10 cleansed? And then He asked a question. He said, where are the 9? So many times we get so ungrateful. You understand what I'm saying? You catch yourself doing your own thing, going your own way, living your own life. You know what that is? That's ingratitude is what that is. That's forgetting where you were and where you still would be had the Lord not intervened, saved your soul. Maybe you want to come tonight just to say thank you, God. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you for being born of the Virgin Mary. Thank you for showing grace in my life and including me. Thank you for including me. I think there might be a song on that, Brother Gary. I'm not sure. He included me or something like that, I believe. I don't hardly do that, but why don't we sing that for the invitation hymn in just a moment? He included me. Aren't you glad He included you tonight? That's His grace. That's His mercy. That's His wonderful, loving grace. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that you say, Jody, they need to be brought into the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Somebody outside that book that I know that I want to try to help get in, why don't you come and ask God to help you with that? Some of you need to invite these folks for next week. Why don't many of you come and say, God, give me the strength to invite them and help them to come. I don't know how God's dealing with you, but I know this, there's a new book that's been written. Aren't you glad it's been written? It's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And He included you if you're saved. If He hasn't yet, He wants to. If you'll come to Him, He'll save you tonight. Thank God that He did it through the virgin birth of His mother. Thank God for the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. I don't know how God's dealing with you. Maybe you want to come and just say thank you. Maybe you need to come and be saved. Maybe you want to come and pray for that lost loved one that you've been thinking about. Ask God to help you, give you the strength to go to them and invite them for this next week. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord, shall we? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Help us to respond. Help people to come. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, you need to be saved. You just want to come say thank you. You want to come and ask God to give you strength to invite somebody this week. You come on as He sings. Come on. Come on now. Here we go.
I am so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say Jesus included me too.
Through softly, we're dealing with folks and folks are praying. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. Every now and then there's messages. It's hard to know how do you draw the net on that. We just let the Lord speak how He chooses to speak. All I know is it's very interesting that the opening phrase of the New Testament, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's another book, aren't you? Boy, if it started and stopped with the book of the generation of Adam, that means we're all going to hell. But there's been another book. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He died in our place. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Someday he's coming back. And if he included you, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with his amazing grace. That's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll hunker down a little bit, because I have no idea how long it's going to take me to get through Matthew. We're just going to take our time. And the Lord's going to bless it. I believe he already has. And I trust he'll continue to do this. We're dealing with one over here. We'll get his information here in just a minute. Let me remind you here again, if you're coming on Thursday night to the Vacation Bible School canvassing, please sign your name so we'll know how much food to order and all those kind of things. I wish you'd pray for me as I'm preaching in Knoxville this week, just an hour and a half or so down the street, so if something happens, I can get back immediately if you need me or things like that. Let's continue to pray for Brother Jackie Hodges having surgery in the morning, Miss Diane Edwards and the death of her sister. Miss Pat Martin's with us today. Wasn't sure if she was injured or not, or how badly, but she's here. So praise the Lord for that. And be back Wednesday night, right in your place, right where you need to be. That'll be good, okay? Amen. Just about done, all right? Thank you. This is Taylor Crowe. Taylor, if you want to stand there. I've dealt with Taylor and asked him that if he's trusted the Lord as his Savior, and you have been saved, you have been scripturally immersed and baptized, and he desires membership in this church by statement, I take it, correct? Yes. Now, we're glad to have you. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? 23. It's good to see young folks, older folks, children, youth joining the church, and we're glad to have you. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive Taylor Crowe by membership? Could I see Brother Ira, second Brother Archer, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. That's how easy it is. Welcome to our membership. But I'm going to say this to you, but I'm talking to all of us. We hope you don't join our church and just sit. We want you to get involved. Try to help us win somebody to Christ. That's what this church is about. Amen. We hope you'll get involved, and we'll try to help you find your place, okay? All right, if you're visiting with us for the first time, take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center, and let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. That'll be good, all right? Brother Todd Harless, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us, please.